Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, owner of Illustrious Hardwoods in Mesa, Arizona. Thank you for tuning in, and I want to encourage you to go get your earbuds, put this in while you're working, learn while you earn. I want to help you take yourself from owning a job to owning a business, and from owning a business to owning an asset, one that can generate you income. And you don't have to be there. So we're always talking the business side of things and trying to help you get one step closer to being able to put yourself in doing only the position that you truly love. And if that's installing, more power to you. Some people want to be in the office. Some people want to do marketing. Find the thing that you really love. Outsource the rest. This week, I have got Luke Wagner with me, and we are going to talk about client relationships. Before we dive into that, I want to say that make sure to go to the Floor Academy group page, find the post about my partnership with Better Tools for this 36-inch tile cutter behind me, like it, go over to the Better Tools page, like their page, and we're going to compare notes at the end of May, and we're going to do a drawing and give away this 36-inch tile cutter that they gave me from Coverings 2022 in Vegas, and I will ship that out to you, and you will have yourself a nice 36-inch cutter. Luke Wagner, welcome to the Floor Academy podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We are on a little bit of a time crunch, folks. We've had scheduling issues, and he has an appointment to make for one of his kids, which I totally respect. So we may come in a little under an hour on this one, and that's okay. We're going to try and we're going to make this happen. So who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it? What's the quick, you know, little overview?
Quick blurb is I'm Luke Wagner with Cornerstone Home Lending. So we are a residential retail lender. We lend money to borrowers for buying a home, refinancing a home, trying to help people get into a better, stronger financial position for their families.
Okay. How long have you been doing that?
Nearly 18 years. So May will be 18 years.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you look back and I'm like, man, it's almost two decades. Holy cow.
A lot of changes in that too, from how the lending aspects and rules and regulations were through a downturn and the Great Recession to now. And so I'm sure that's been a challenge to navigate as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I started doing lending in May 2006. That was a great time. Values were going up. People were cashing out refis super easy. We had a terrible crash at the end of 07, right after my son was born. 2008 was probably a real low point. And, you know, being a lender was terrible. I couldn't get another job, though. I tried. Every time I get another job, it was so 2009 turned, some different programs came out, started allowing some more income. Unfortunately, it's worked out, and every year it's been a great growth opportunity.
Awesome. Do you have any, I don't even know, we didn't even talk about this, so I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Do you have any data on like what the average time between needing a mortgage lender like yourself is? Like how long are people holding homes now? Because traditionally, right, like you used to, you'd buy and hold for like 20 years. People would live in a place a really long time, and I feel like that time frame is shortened. Like people are moving constantly, you know, five years maybe.
Yeah, I'd say the average life of a loan is 3 to 5 years. You know, right now rates are going up. They've gone up very, very quickly in a very short amount of time in 2022. But there's always going to be a need for people to either refinance for cash out. They need to consolidate debt. I mean, right now you've had people getting mortgage interest rates in the threes, some were in the twos, you know, a while ago for a decade. And that's kind of the new conversation is millennials, which will be 50% of home buyers in 2022, have seen their friends, their family get 3% rates for a decade. So they think that's the normal. And we're like, yeah, rates right now are in the mid fives. And I mean, we were getting people 3.5 in January. I mean, that's a crazy inflation. And, you know, we keep constantly reminding people, listen, in 2012, people were begging for 6%. 6.125 was an amazing rate. You know, it's a smack in the face for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, I was I locked into something what I refinanced in like 2010 after buying in late 2008, and I was at like 4.3 something.
Yeah.
And I just recently scraped together the cash and sent them a large check, and I'm an actual homeowner now.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Correct.
That's great.
Now we save up and we get ready to go buy another one with a horrible interest rate, but oh well.
That's right. Yeah, just flip it to a rental. Make some money.
Well, that's exactly it. That's the plan for this building here. Is it should become an excellent rental. It's got a good, great location, great starter home, but we're kind of getting a little off track. So, 3 to 5 years average lifespan of a loan, people are doing that more than they're doing flooring, unless they put flooring in every house that they go to.
Right.
But even that's traditionally like a purchase. You know, you put in a tile floor. It's probably good for 10 to 15 years before you're just like, hey, the trends have changed. I absolutely have to redo it. And it's not the same as being a fast food restaurant where like, hey, I got to eat today. Like, I'm going to go, right? Like, I can make this buying decision over and over and over again. What are some things that you've done to really have a relationship with your clients and start staying in front of them so they remember Cornerstone Home Lending, but specifically you, Luke Wagner, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, so that they're calling you and they're not just picking up the phone or going online to bankrate.com and getting five different, offers from the giant lenders out there.
Yeah, bankrate.com, LendingTree, those are all lead generators, right? Nobody knows that. They think they're going to get a quote, and also they're getting their information sold to companies. I think what I do is I speak and I build a relationship with my clients on a different level. It's not just, hey, let's look at your FICO score, your debt ratio, your loan to value, and here's what the loan looks like. I like to go a lot deeper into their family, their hobbies, what they do, really just caring about people and their interests. And obviously that's easy when you have a lot of clientele that have similar interests, right? So I've always lived pretty rural. I got kind of a more rural clientele base, I would say. It's not metropolitan. So a lot of beliefs, a lot of thoughts are very similar. And so when you can have that kind of a connection where people not just trust you to do the good job, but also like you as a person, that's a heightened relationship, right? And then staying in touch with those people, hey, you see their kids selling Girl Scout cookies, buy a box, it's $5. It's supporting their family. You see their birthday on Facebook, give them a text, give them a call, tell them what you're thinking about them. Even if they don't understand, leave a voicemail. I think a lot of people don't do that. They just kind of keep it on the very business side of it, technical side of it. And then we want to be professional too, but there's just a more personal relationship there.
Well, so I would say for me, that's really easy to do. People invite me into their home, right? I have to go look at this project and they have pictures everywhere. They have bookshelves, right? Like I can start picking out, hey, your kid plays baseball. You went to Disneyland. You vacationed on some tropical island. Like I can see the little details and start picking out things to have the conversation about. Most likely, they're either calling you up and starting the conversation on the phone, or they're coming into your office, which you don't have any contextual clues as to like what to lead you in. So how are you getting off topic to start building that relationship while you're doing this paperwork? Instead of, you can sit down with the form, right? And you can be like, okay, answer this question, answer this question, answer this question. And people's time is valuable, so you want to get it done, but how are you working it in so that it's engaging and they don't feel like you're not rushing them, but you're not also keeping them too long?
Yeah, it's a good question. I had a coworker a couple years ago ask me about that. He's like, Luke, I need to sit with you. I was like, for what? He's like, I need to see what you do. I'm like, man, you just take a 3-hour tour. You got to remember, these are people, they want to do a loan with you. They're talking to you because they like you, but they don't want to spend a half a day with you, So I usually allot my schedule to where I give people an hour and 15 max if we're going to do a face-to-face engagement. Because one, if you go past that, I'm not doing my job.
Okay.
And two, I need to work on other things as well, not spending half a day with one couple or individual to do the loan. So through the conversation piece, I got pictures around my office about elk and deer and all sorts of things. So, when you live in a rural community, usually that sparks topic about outdoors and hunting and fishing. I tell a lot of personal stories. People tell you their life when you're getting asking about their bank accounts and their socials and all these different things that come up, there's always some sort of story that starts off with it. You take, you know, 5-10 minutes, you tell your story, you listen to their story, you need to kind of memorize that about who was part of that story. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you can start asking them those personal questions about their family or their hunting buddies and fishing buddies. And, oh, you want a vacation to Virginia or Idaho? You know, I'm licensed in 6 different states. So I talked to a few different people. I bounce back and forth between Tennessee and Washington state. So, you know, there's a lot of tangible states, you know, a lot of camping and stuff. So those stories just kind of come up when you talk with people.
Are you tracking any of that? Are you using like you have a CRM that you're putting data into to follow up and know that, you know, hey, the dog's name is Bob and then they have sons, George and a daughter, Susie. Like, are you, or is it, you just try and remember as much as you can in your head?
It's a little bit of both. So we do have a software program called Salesforce. My assistant primarily uses that, you know, but we do track a lot of notes regarding customers. It also tracks, it collects information from the application, you know, collects information about their dependents, the kids' ages. And we could go in there and hop in there and make notes about the kids' names and are they playing soccer or they're playing basketball, they broke a leg, they broke an arm, you know. And, you know, I'm 42 years old, or almost 42 years old. So it's like, you know, my kids broke legs and arms. And so those stories that we can be compatible with, further that, nurture that relationship. And then deeper the conversation is, again, having like-minded things happen.
Yeah.
But Salesforce is what we use for that.
Okay. No, and it's, I think it's huge to be able to do stuff like that. Cause I actually, I went and did a bid 2 nights ago, and I walked in the house and I'm talking with the homeowner and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you again. Da da da. And a dog comes running up to me and I was like, Frank? Frankie. It's Frank, right? And she's like, well, no, there's Franco, but this one's new. You haven't met this one. And now I don't even remember the name. And eventually, like, Franco came running out at me, but I was like, well, that's not too bad. Like, I was pretty close. I got the Frank part. So, but, you know, had I if I actually used a software to keep track of all the details, I could have put that in, reviewed the whole file before I went and done it, because her son also just went to, she was like, oh, my son just did prom. And I was like, junior or senior? And she's like, oh, well, they're combined. And I was like, yeah, but it was junior prom for him, right? I was like, he's not, I was like, I know he's older, but he's not, he's got another year, right? And she was like, yeah. He'll be a senior next year. So, You start trying to remember all these little details, and I think being able to store them somewhere and actually keep track of them a little bit more responsibly will go a long way when people reach back out, because then you're not fumbling through the details. You're very accurate and you can have a better conversation.
Yep. And I actually met with a couple of realtors when I was back in Washington in September, and we had lunch together and we kind of shared some of those notes. You know, we were like, how did we, what transactions did we do together? We pulled out our phone. Well, your phone, you can do a search in your iPhone, at least in your contacts. And you can put in, you know, like closed loans with this person. And it will actually pull up the group of people you've closed loans with if you've put it in your phone and noted it correctly. And so that's a quick way too, is use your notes in your phone, you know, two kids, Tommy and Jordan, you know, then you at least know, hey, to ask about Tommy and Jordan. Hey, how are they doing? Are they in school or what? You know?
Yeah. I think one of the best, that I forget what book it's in, or I'm pretty sure it's a story in a book, and I've heard it on a podcast or two that I've listened to. There's a guy that would go to a meeting, have the conversation, immediately go outside. In his glove box, he kept cards. And he'd get out the card after the meeting, and he'd write the Christmas card and be like, hey, you know, just thinking about you, hope that, you know, Bobby's doing really well in school, and Susie, you know, is whatever they talked about, right? All these little insights. And then he would set it aside, and then Christmas time rolls around and you send out all these Christmas cards and everyone's like, oh, wow, how does he remember all this stuff? It's because he wrote the card right away and then sent it out.
That's pretty smart. But that sounds like an office, like a Dunder Mifflin story, right? Doing their sales calls, maybe having their whole Rolodex, all their little notes on there, and you grab that when you go. Yeah, and that is. I mean, I do have some business cards that do have some notes on it. Sometimes if I know I'm going to go meet with someone specific, I'll print off their bio from their real estate website. I'll make notes. And that way, when I go to that area, I'm going to be in that area. Mm-hmm. I will have that little note to take in reference to before I walk in, you know, just to kind of refresh that memory a little bit.
Yeah. Any special kind of programs you do, events you hold to get past clients together that you're doing anything with?
Yeah, so we're going to try to do this annually. You know, I relocated last year, so now we're kind of bouncing back and forth. So last September, we did we hosted a client and partnership relationship appreciation event. So we rented a party deck at the Tacoma Rainiers. We had realtors come that we worked with. We had clients that came, some friends. And that was a really great event to kind of bring all three of those legs, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. Partners, clients, and friends together to kind of intertwine, mingle. They talk about the game. They talk about, you know, our business. And it's a way to show appreciation. You know, these are people that have choices. They can choose to work with whomever they want. So for them to choose to work with us and multiple times, that's an honor.
Yes.
And I think I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, where I think a lot of people, when you do something for so long, let's say you've done flooring, how long have you done flooring?
June will be 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. So you do things over and over and over, day in, day out. You kind of lose. A lot of people get desensitized to that. Hey, this is a huge job. This is a big deal. It's a lot of money going into this thing. And what started off as a $2,000 job ended up probably being a $10,000 job. Right.
You start wondering,
you keep branching out. Well, same thing with mortgages. You know, I do this every day. To me, it's a mortgage, right? Like a credit, income, assets. But we also got to know that, hey, these people have choices. This is a huge deal for them. This is likely the largest thing they're going to probably do ever. And so we try to really be respectful of that, not have people feel rushed, give them professional advice and work with integrity and, you know, help them make a good decision for their family. You know, ultimately, it's their decision. If they want to do an FHA loan, and I'm saying you should really do a conventional loan. They're like, wow, I really want FHA. My brother had FHA. Well, this is why you should do this conventional loan. I want to do FHA. Like, all right, we'll do FHA. If that's what you want. I'm going to refinance this thing in 8 months to get you out of it, though, just so you know.
You don't want that FHA loan because you can't get rid of the PMI on PMI. It. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it.
I mean, it's a tool. It's not a bad loan, but it's a tool loan. You know, they're meant to be long term, but some people have it in their mind that this is what they're going to do.
I get it. Actually, you bring up a good point that purchasing a home is a. It's a big deal. It's a lot of money. It's very stressful to go through. And you're taking a huge risk, right? Essentially, you're taking on $300,000, $500,000, $800,000, whatever that loan amount's going to be, right? And you're saying, okay, for the next 15 or 30 years or whatever, I'm going to come up with this money every month. And you're right. I think that we do get desensitized to it, because I can go and look at a project and I'm like, nah, it's just your average $10,000 project, right? Like, no big deal. To that homeowner, how long did they have to work to save up that $10,000? And maybe it's a smaller project. Maybe they've been saving for a year and they just want to do a 150 square foot little bedroom and make their new office look nice. So that couple thousand dollars really, really matters to them. And you need to spend the time, give them the respect and appreciate that they chose you and you're going to help navigate them through this process. They're not the expert. That's why they're coming to us. I don't know how to do a loan. If I knew how to do a loan, sure, I'll fill out all the stuff myself, but I don't. So I have to go to somebody such as you. They need to come to somebody like me to get a floor done. And you guide them through the process, right? We hold their hands and we get them from point A to point B and make them feel valued and respected. And so what are the little things you're doing to really show that, right? And like you said, you can become desensitized. So how are you trying to keep it fresh and in your mind that just because I do six of these a day doesn't mean this one's not special to this, you know, the client in front of me now?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's really a special thing or a really specific way to say what I do. I think just sometimes it's an eye-opener when you talk to a builder even that doesn't really understand the loan programs. Like, well, you're a builder. Why don't you understand this? Mm-hmm. Well, they build houses. They build condos. They build townhouses or commercial property. They don't get the financing for the client to buy those things. And I've talked with a lot of people that don't think they can qualify to buy a home. And I'm like, why don't you think you qualify? Oh, I one instance in particular. Well, my wife got divorced like 10 years ago. I'm like, okay. So that was like 10 years ago. How did that affect you today? Oh, you know, the credit got messed up. And I'm like, what do you think her credit scores are? Oh, they're probably over 800. I'm like, that's pretty good. You know, didn't she say she's a nurse? I'm like, yeah, how much she make? Oh, about $130,000 a year. That's pretty good. Why don't you think she would qualify? Well, that divorce 10 years ago, I'm like, let's try putting her on the loan and see what happens. And I'm like, yeah, we're gonna help you buy this home. We could have helped you buy the last one, except you didn't put her on. You should have put her on. And then I've had people that they're like, I'm never going to qualify. I don't mind doing the work, right? That's the one thing I tell people all the time. Hey, I don't mind doing the work. This is my job. You got to do your part.
Yeah.
And then there's a part that we're going to do together. And so you do your part, then I'll do my part. Then we'll work together and see what happens. You may or may not qualify, but let's just do the work. Why not? And then at least if we do the work and you don't qualify, now we can have a deeper conversation with them about why they don't qualify. What do they need to do in order to become qualified? And what do they need to work on and set up a game plan and then set up a follow-up call 4 or 5 months out? So when those opportunities come up, that's an eye-opener for me. These people thought they had no problem buying a home and there's no way they're buying a home. And these people over here thought there's no way to buy a home, and they have no reason not to buy a home.
Yeah.
And so it's just people know what they know, and they don't know what they don't know. Yeah. So I just try to take my time. With them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're getting in, you're asking the personal questions, you're trying to discover what the motivation is and why they want it and move forward. And I have to do the same thing. I have to go in. Why do you want a floor? How do you want it to perform? How do you know, what kind of family life do you have? Is it super active? Do you have pets? Like, right. All these questions really start affecting the choice of what kind of product we should put in. Or, you know, for you, somebody might come in and be like, I want this $800,000 house. And you're like, well, you qualify for $500,000. Somebody might come to me and be like, I want all this flooring done. Well, that's going to be $40,000. Well, my budget's 30. Okay. So we can look at, you know, we can change product. You can do some of your own removal. You don't have to lower your price to fit their budget. You have to lower expectations or have them do some of the work. And I'm sure you kind of have the same thing, right? Like, hey, you may really want this, but you can't afford it. Like, the numbers say this is what you're good for.
Right. We have to show you have the ability to repay the loan at the time of closing, right? Mm-hmm. There was a huge foreclosure crisis back in 2008, 9, 10. You know, now there's all these different standards set up. But I think, too, it's also being able to speak with people making it easy to understand. You know, there's a lot of technical things, abbreviations that we can say in our business. And I think a lot of people get so accustomed to saying it to a process or underwriter that they try to use DTI, LTV, you know, to talk with the customer. A customer's like, what the heck are you even saying to me, man? I don't understand any of that. So kind of like construction, you know, we added a bathroom to a basement. I got a rough estimate of what it was going to cost. 7 months later, we finally move in. I'm like, they're like, yeah, I don't have time to do that. So I get another bid. Extremely detailed, and I like detail, you know. I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
I get all the detail, and at the end of the number, it's $26,000. I'm like, for a bathroom? I mean, and this guy was telling me it was going to probably be 12, between 10 and 15,000. That was 7 months ago. Lumber's gone up, everything's gone up. So I get a referral to another contractor, he literally gives me a square with a toilet and sink, and it's like, you want this in laminate, 12,000. You want tile, 15,000. I'm like, are you sure it's going to be it? Because this is extremely vague, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of the recommendations from two people that had good experience with them, we went with it. But I was scared the entire time. Like, I'm going to come down here. It's going to be a half a bathroom. And I'm going to get stuck with a mess. And this is not typical of me to do this. And the guy did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. The bathroom not great, timely, professional, but it was almost so vague, whereas like the handshake and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But it saved me $11,000. Mm-hmm. And so you know, say the mortgages, we can go into making it so complex and so intricate where people are so bored and don't want to even talk about it, or now you're way over their head and they feel dumb, or we can talk about it, be extremely vague, and they don't feel like you're giving them their choices, or you can be somewhere right in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Enough detail, but enough vagueness to where it's easier to understand. And I think I have a really good way to explain that to people, and make it easy. We got to make it easy for people.
Yeah. Life's not getting ready. That's exactly it. If you're trying to make a sale, make it easy. I was just actually looking for advertising rates for some magazines. And I went on the website and I'm clicking around and it gives me all the demographic data and the metrics and reach and all this stuff. It tells me exactly how I have to deliver the files and what sizes they can be. No rates. Mm. I have to contact them. But every other magazine I went to, like, I get a full, like, 20-page PDF, and I can go through, and it has all the same information, and it gave me rates. And I was like, well, you made it too hard. Like, I don't want to work with you now.
Yeah. What else are you going to hide from me? What else are you going to make me dig for? I got a full-time job. My job is not to sell me your advertisement. Exactly. Just tell me what it is, and I'll buy it.
Correct. You know,
I'll buy the size I want to buy.
Yep. So, I mean, make it easy. Communicate with them. Don't put things in the way of buying, and I'm sure that's a valuable lesson of, you know, do you have somewhere that you've kind of changed your process over the years because you used to put obstacles in people's way building relationships?
Yeah, I would say probably my first year was obviously the most complex. I was learning mortgages. I didn't understand mortgages. I was doing what people were telling me to do at closing. We'd be really close on the numbers, but not, you know, let's just say there's a $1,000 buffer, right? Well, they weren't expecting to come in with an extra $1,000, right? So, you know, I learned that, hey, these are going to be rough numbers, but they're going to be close. But, you know, it could sway this way or that way because of the following. So I think, you know, anytime you're learning a business, you're learning how to explain the business, you're mm-hmm. feeling out your presentation and how to spell it out so people have a good understanding. And at the very end, have a good experience, because bottom line, doesn't matter how nice you were or how much they liked you. If that end result was not a good feeling, they're not going to come back. They're not going to refer business to you. And ultimately, that's what we're in here for. We're not here to go out and we're going to grind it out every day, but we're not here to also have to fight our own tarnished brand, right? Mm-hmm. If you do a good job, you have a good name, you can stand by that because you've worked with integrity. And then your clients are going to help support you. Your referral partners are going to help support you. Mm-hmm. But if you say you're going to do this and you don't do it, or you say it's going to come out this way and it doesn't, you know, it's really hard to backtrack.
Yes.
Now, with that said, it's also important to hold our partners accountable if they misexplain something, as well as our clients. You know, I just had that experience with a client. He's like, this has been a terrible experience. I'm like, well, I'm really sorry you feel that way. You told me the last one was a real terrible experience too. You also told me your wife works full time and she doesn't. She works part time at two different jobs. Okay. You also didn't tell me you had a third lien, which affected this entire deal. And you told me you didn't even understand what that even was. Like, how you signed paperwork for it. How did you not know what that is? And so customers, I think, are important because they only know what they know. So it's important to hold them accountable as well. Try to be respectful and explain, hey, you have a part in this. So if you tell me you make $20 an hour and you make $17 an hour, that's going to affect things.
Yes.
You said you work full time and you're working 40 hours one week, 30 hours the next week, 6 hours the following week, 40 hours. That's not full time. You know, so you know, it's helping them understand what's really important with a loan and that they have a part in it too.
Communication is huge, right? And I think that's where a lot of the problems come in, is that I'm under communicating or they're under communicating and I'm not digging deep enough. And then you said you were going to do this. Well, no, that's not what I said. And so sometimes it's a matter of to build that relationship and have it really solid. Just because we have this conversation in person, follow up with an email, follow up with a text message, put it in. Hey, I heard you say this, that, and the other thing. I need you to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, and then I'm going to be able to do ABC. Mm-hmm. Now there's documentation, and if it was something was misunderstood, they can come back and be like, whoa, 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 no, it's, you know, it's these things, and then we can go ahead and do the next steps. And so
the upgrade or whatever.
Now and there's you can go back. In fact, I just had a project where I originally booked dates with the client to install 1 week. I came back and they said they would prefer the following week. And I was like, I don't know if I can move it. I have to see if I can find somebody else to fill that spot, blah, blah, blah. And I reached out and I texted them. I was like, hey, we're going to move this and it's going to go here. And so you get the week you wanted. And then I'm on a project, 2 hours into my day, and he's reaching out like, hey, you coming by today? You said you'd be here at 7:00. I was like, next week. He was like, no, this week. I was like, no, hold on. And I scroll through the texts and I found it. I texted it to him. I was like, I'm sorry, man. We talked about this. Like I moved you. And he was like, oh yeah, I forgot to put it in my schedule. So
yeah we're all human. We all make mistakes. Absolutely.
Correct.
I had an appointment, a meeting yesterday. Totally didn't even think about it till the night before. And someone was like, hey, can I see you tomorrow? I'm like, I don't know. Let me see. Oh, shoot. I got this meeting. Nope. I got to go to this meeting. I said I was going to be there. I got to be there. I should have looked at my calendar a little bit quicker. I think it's also super important when you start to feel a customer starting to have not a great experience and they're a referral from a friend or a partner, like a realtor, builder. It's really important to reach out to that partner because they're only going to hear, and if you don't, they're only going to hear the client's bad review. And so, for example, that one I just went over, I reached out to the realtor who actually referred them to me and said, hey, I just want to talk to you about, this deal, kind of what happened. Obviously, we can't go through too much detail, but you can give them an update and like, hey, just so you know, when they call you to complain, this is not how it went down. Here's my assessment of it. I just wanted to give you a heads up. I still appreciate the referral. I just don't want them to badmouth me without having me a chance to explain. But try to do that before the client reaches out to the person I'm referring to.
Well, I think that's just keeping the lines of communication open. Like even as I go through, like I'm trying to let clients know where I'm at the end of the day. I'm getting there in the morning. I'm letting them know what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm going to let them, hey, here's what's going on. What do you need? What do you have going on? Like, do the kids need something? Does the dog need to be let out during the day? Like, not that I want that responsibility to try not to take that one on, but there's certain clients I've done multiple projects for. If they left and they asked me to let the dog out back, like I'll probably let the dog out back, but it's just having that open line of communication so that you're both on the same page and you're not getting confused, right? But I still the old adage of under promise and over deliver always rings true to me. Like I'd rather tell people that they're going to get less and then be able to deliver more instead of promising that they're going to be able to get to the moon and getting them halfway there and they get stuck in space and now what do you do for them? You can't do anything.
Right. And they're angry and they're defensive. And so like in your line of work, same thing with our line of work with fees. There's a cost associated with it. Try and pad those fees, and tell them, hey, I'm padding these fees for a reason. Yeah, I'm padding this cost for a reason. At the end, I can outline where it went. And if it didn't go anywhere, we'll lower our price. Like for us, if we don't use the fees for the title or escrow or appraisal, it came in less. Cool. We'll lower your loan amount. It's not a big deal. But if I tell you it's 8,000 and it comes in at 9,000, you're going to be pissed.
Exactly.
I tell you it's 9,500 and it comes in at 9,000. You're like, oh, cool. I get $500 back. Right?
Exactly. Everyone's mad when I don't know anybody that sticks to a budget on a giant remodel project. I don't. Everyone goes over budget. They plan 30, they spend 50. I'm trying to tell people when they do flooring with me, look, I'm going to tell you, over the phone, I can give you a rough estimate. I'm going to tell you it's going to be 12 to, 15,000. I hope I come out and I hit 11. But I'd rather like kind of scare you now and give you a little bit higher number and then come in lower. And no one's mad when a remodel's over and they got extra money in their pocket. Everyone's pissed when they go out of budget, over budget. And they're like, how do I pay for this? I don't have the cash. The credit cards are maxed out already. Like, what do I do? So,
yeah, and we do construction loans. And so the same thing, construction takes longer than anybody anticipated. It was more expensive. The permits took forever. Mm-hmm. And people, I'm 20% loan officer, 80% counselor. It's like you're managing these emotions and stress levels and anxiety for, on a refi, 30 days to a build, up to a year and a half, depending on how big the build out is. And it's like, keeping people calm you know, is a super important part of the situation. And it's just the communication, setting the proper expectations. Mm-hmm. Don't undercut them just to get the business, because if that business just talks trash about you afterwards, there's no point. You just lost that. You did one deal, but now you've lost 7 referrals or 8 referrals or whatnot, you know, and just tell people mm-hmm. you're good at it.
Are you, excuse me, are you tracking any of like the lifetime value of a client? Since you, I know you said your assistant's using the software more than you are. Like, are you putting in there that, hey, you know, Bob closed and then, you know, he sent in Sally and George and they both sent in people. So are you tracking any of that? Do you have offhand like what lifetime value of a client is?
No, yeah. I don't really track. I don't, you know, the transaction to me is, I don't know. It's kind of funny. Like, I don't really even know my volume is month to month until the end of the month's over. Mm-hmm. No, I don't track. I got my projection on what I'm hoping to close, but I really don't look at that until after the month's closed, because no matter what, I got to come in and work hard every day. So it doesn't really matter if it's closed or if it's going to close. It's no matter what, I got to come in and I'm either working on loans mm-hmm. or I'm working on trying to get referrals and leads. Right. And mm-hmm. so I don't really track, you know, they're all valuable. I mean, I don't track like how much I've made off of each person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if they come to me, great. Want to take care of them. We're just going to do a good job. Hopefully get referrals out of it. But yeah, I don't have like a way I track the tree.
Are you doing anything? What are you doing to get people like buying a home's a pain in the butt, man. Like, it was honestly one of the worst experiences of my life, like buying my home. Now, granted, I bought in September of 2008 and it was a foreclosure. And I hear those are like just kind of a pain in general. But I, essentially, I mean, you're taking on this huge, it's stressful. It's a ton of money. So how are you building a relationship where people are like, you got to go use Luke. Luke's the best lender. You got to use him, because man, I can talk to Phoenix is ridiculous for the amount of realtors we have. Right. The entire state is, I think it's like 60,000. And we're 7.5 million people in the state, I think. So almost 1% of the population is like a realtor. It's insane. There are a dime a dozen around here. Like, I know 15, and all of them are going to be like, well, go talk this one. Like, how do you make sure you stand out for something that like people don't want to deal with?
It's a good question. You know, I think, it's kind of funny because there's lots of lenders, lots of loan officers, you know, and you walk into meet with a realtor and there's business cards all over the place. Or, mm-hmm. You know, I think that the problem is a lot of people come in feeling like they're super special. They're the best person in the business in the neighborhood. And they're here, I'm going to drop off 15 flyers to tell you how awesome I am. I have those too, but I never take them with me my first or second time. You know, I try to come in because no matter what, you know, you had mentioned special programs. You know, we do construction lending, which a lot of people don't do. Renovation lending. We got programs where you can lock your interest rate wire shopping, which is going to be super important while rates are going up. Regardless of all that, if they don't like you from a personal standpoint, they're not going to want to send their business to you or send their clients to you, because you're just not going to be able to relate to them. You're not going to be able to give them the experience that they want for clients to have. And really, that's what we do for people. We provide extremely great customer service, clear and concise communication. We don't waver, you know, on, hey, I didn't say that. I've worked all the time on these construction loans. Hey, you said you can close in 30 days. Nope, I've never said that. Actually, the emails I sent you all say close 45 to 60 days from this time frame. Mm-hmm. So you want me to send that email again? Because I know I never said that. And so I think that I just, again, holding other people accountable, I hold myself accountable too. Not to be humble and not just walking like, you know, they're the only lender in the neighborhood that's going to do a good job. There's going to be lots of really good lenders. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have same with, you know, contractors, realtors, builders. You're going to have a few that are really good. You're going to have a lot that are mediocre, and you're going to have a few that are bad. The bad ones are eventually going to get shoved out. Mediocre will always kind of stay in that mediocre area, and the high really aren't doing something necessarily that much different or that much better. It's just a little thing, a little better communication, a little mm-hmm. better projection on their completion timelines, where people could say, when I have one builder where it's like, hey, we're going to be done in 6 months. What if you need a 7th or 8th month draw? We will never need that. We'll be done in 6 months. One draw for 6 months. And then you have ones that are like, yeah, man, 9, 12 months, we'll be done. Well, I guess one though, they say it and they're done in 6 months every time. It's you know they're going to do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. If I tell you we're going to do it, if I tell you we're going to close a loan, we're going to close a loan. You know, depending on your profile, there might be some more bumps and bruises. If I'm not sure we're going to close it, we're going to get it pre-reviewed and in the underwriting before we get you spending any money.
Yeah. Do what you say when you say you're going to do it. So
that's it. I'd love to try to do something special, but you know, it's just that little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit better than the some others.
Well, I'll admit, I told you about halfway through this, I was going to jump in for an advertisement. I'm 10 minutes late. So we're going to jump in here for a quick little break.
All right.
The International Surface Event, the annual flooring, stone, and tile sourcing experience in Las Vegas, has a unique experience for the industry. Introducing the Surfaces Show Home, Calibu Vineyard by Jennifer Farrell. Surfaces is working with celebrity design and TV host Jennifer Farrell to develop a 7,300 square foot show home in California. The home is under construction, but due to technology from Visualizer Plus, the industry can experience virtual room reveals each month. Then plan to view Calibu Vineyard in person or virtually summer 2022 during the home tours. Visit www.calibuvineyard.com now to sign up and join the journey. Luke, how are you staying in front of people? I know you mentioned like being on Facebook and stuff earlier. Communication is obviously, you know, we're talking about communication. So what are you doing to stay in front of people if the average, you know, span is 3 to 5 years before they're going to need you again? That's a long time to be not in front of somebody. It's really easy when they have to talk to you every month and you're trying to get docs out of them and you're like, hey, I need your pay stub. And then 2 days later, hey, I need your pay stub because I know that you track down so much stuff because people just don't do it. And you're constantly in front of them.
Yeah, they send the wrong format, and you know they think they sent it in 5 times, but it's always half pages or it's cut off. And you know, we started to do the client appreciation events. Mm-hmm. You know, we do birthday calls, happy anniversary calls. You know, we pick up the phone and call people. I think that combined with the experience we provide them, the majority of my clients remember me. And we did a good job. And those soft touches, Salesforce does the automated emails too, which is great.
Okay.
You know, they go during the anniversary, they go out on the birthday. We also pay for a monthly or bi-monthly marketing that will either go out mail, email, a different format, you know. When it comes mm-hmm. to staying in front of realtors, that's also a huge part too, is, you know, if we're not busy, we better be busy trying to be busy. You know, if you have a big lull in our business, mm-hmm. that's a problem. Okay. So, you know, I do lots of sales calls outside, you know, stopping by realtors, stopping by builders. In addition to those, we also are looking at starting home buyer classes. So okay. that's going to be a way to try and get a lead generation going. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a way to pay back our realtors too, because we can have them come do a 20-30 minute presentation about what they do in their role of home buying. And that's a way to support them as well.
The home buyer education, I think, is genius. Even just doing like basic financial literacy would be great. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of smaller mom and pop retailers, they get frustrated, especially like us installers get frustrated watching what the box stores do when they put on educational classes and they're teaching you how to install your own flooring or install your own backsplash. And everyone's like, oh, my God, it's disgusting. It's so wrong.
Right.
Why aren't the mom and pop shops then copying and offering the same class? Man, pay one of your installers to come in and teach a class Saturday morning on how mm-hmm. to properly install a backsplash. And then everyone freaks out and they're like, but then they're going to steal my work. Hey, I got news for you. The DIYer was never your client, but their five right. friends that aren't are. And they're going to say, go down to Bob and Jan's flooring store and talk to them because they taught me how to do it. They really know what they're doing. They're really great people over there. I think that you give something away and it always comes back, especially when it's educational, because right. people really value being able to make an informed decision. And to be honest, there's always more than enough work out there, especially right now in well, the market's starting to cool down, but you've been gangbusters for like the past 2 years. I'm sure it was, you weren't having to drum up work and really seek it out. You were probably getting more calls than you could almost do. And construction's been pretty much the same way. Is I want to remodel. I just bought a home. I want to remodel. I don't want to buy right now because it's not a good time to buy, but I don't like where I live. Or, you know, when the pandemic first hit, everyone was like, I'm stuck. I don't have anywhere to go. I have money burning a hole in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of looking at my house. I never realized how ugly it was because I was never in it. So,
but the short time they were, that I could tolerate it.
Correct. So, it, you know, the construction industry has been just as gangbusters. But it's, look, it's not going to last forever. It's going to slow down. And so how do we now go and generate those leads and stay in front of these people to get them to say, hey, this is a really special experience? And I think that's some of the best ways, is putting education out there. I don't have a problem telling you how to do something for free. And look, they can't do their own loan docs, but you can get them a better credit score. You can get them saving better, knowing how to budget to actually set money aside for a down payment. So,
right. Well, and then, you know, there's these different, you know, real estate community events. Brian Buffini, huge real estate coach. You know, we've, you know, a lot of realtors go there and super loyal to that. I've gone to many of those too with former employers and coworkers and with my realtor partners. And it's, you know, one thing they always ask is who in this audience has had some sort of financial education? And you got to think, these are all adults. Mm-hmm. And there's probably 17 out of several hundred people that stand up. And you know, what they're trying to illustrate is, hey, you're about to go into a 100% commission job. How are you going to put yourself in a position where you're not stressed out? Because, you know, when you got to make that sale, it's a total different presentation when you want the sale, but you don't need it. When you want the flooring job, but you don't need it. You're like, hey, man, it's going to be 12 to 15,000. And here's why it's going to be 12 to 15,000. They're like, well, how accurate are you going to be? Well, how accurate do you need me to be? Do you need me to be within 50 bucks? Because if we got to be within 50 bucks, this is already too big for you. You know, I once had a client tell me, he's like, how accurate is this number? Are we like plus or minus $5 a month? I was like, listen, if you're about $5 a month, you are shopping at a price point that's way too high for your budget. Regardless, if I say you can afford it, if you need to be at 1700 and we're at 2400, we got to get that way down.
Yeah.
Or you got to not buy right now. You know, so financial education is huge. And, you know, regardless of where you're at, you know, what state you're in, you know, people just don't have a good knowledge of what it takes to buy a home. They want to buy a home, and they see all these other people buying a home, and they feel like they deserve it. And kind of like that mentality where we're in last decade, you know, it's been, I mean, we have to qualify people, but they just don't understand what it takes. So I think this home buyer education is going to be a really great resource for the community. It's a great way to show our referral partners that, hey, most of my business is referral business, either from past clients that have a realtor that was referred by that realtor, referred by a friend. And my opportunities of being able to refer day in, day out leads to realtors, not good. What I do is provide them the experience that they want for their clients and make sure if I say that loan's going to close, it's going to close so they get paid. And our client has a good experience. This is going to be a great way for us to involve those partners, bring in the realtor, bring in the home inspector, bring in our title and escrow rep, let them have a little bit of a showcase. And then anybody from that group, if they decide they want to do an application, we're going to put it in Salesforce and make a note of it. These were the partners that were on this presentation. So if they end up buying a home, they're going to work with this realtor, this title and escrow company, this inspector, hopefully, right? We're going to refer them back. Can't make them. But that's who we're going to suggest. They probably give them a shot. And so it's a good way just to kind of help, you know, get in front of people. Right now, as you say, things are going to slow down. Rates have gone up to 2.5% in 2.5 months.
Yep.
If refis have slowed down, you're always going to have someone divorce, got to pay off credit card debt. You know, there's going to be some reason someone's going to need to do it, but definitely not in the amount of volumes that we've had
Yes.
for the last 2 years for sure, but over the course of a decade. You know, if someone's got a 3% rate, why would they take a 5.5% rate just to get $10,000? That doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
You know, and then we as professionals got to be able to say that, even though, hey, man, I'm used to closing X amount of loans per month, and now I'm closing this amount of loans per month, maintaining that integrity. And if it's not a loan that you would do or you would recommend to a family member, don't recommend it to the client. Give them the good information, work with integrity, give them their options, and let them make the choice. But don't make it sound like it's super good if it's not really benefit.
And that's why people are going to come back, and they're going to tell their friends and neighbors about, you know, hey, look, I just did this thing. Like, you've got to go talk to Luke, because he'll shoot you straight. I think honesty and integrity go a long way, and there's not a lot of businesses that I feel actually operate with honesty and integrity. They're looking at the bottom line and how they can drive that, as opposed to, I want to make a living and be comfortable, but I want to do it by making sure, you know, I'm a good steward of your money. And that's really something that I've changed my outlook on, is that if you're going to trust me, then I want to be a good steward of your money. And if I think that 50 cents a square foot on a product is going to get you a much better end result, well, 50 cents a square foot on 2,000 square feet is only $1,000. What's the difference between $12,000 and $13,000? At that point, not a lot.
Right.
If, you know, like you said, right, if someone's coming in and they're worried about $5 a month on a $2,400 a month loan, but they really want to be at $1,800, then they need to convey that to you and say, like, hey, what can I get for $1,800 a month? Where does that put me? You know, 1850, somewhere in there. Like, that's my sweet spot of what I feel comfortable putting out every month. But then you're going to be able to realistically hit the mark for them, and they should be ultimately really happy with that service, coming back, telling their friends, like, hey, he's going to take care of you, he's going to make sure it's right. And I think that's when you really start building that word of mouth and that referral marketing.
Yeah, and it's what's funny is I had a client buy a second home in a different state. You know, he's like, oh, can I get $50 off my appraisal fee? I'm like, no, the appraisers charge what they charge. We don't make any of that money.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, you can ask them when they show up if you want. You ask for a recommendation on a home inspector. So I gave him a recommendation on a home inspector. He's like, how much is it going to be? I don't know, $450, $400, $500, somewhere in there. But they did a really good job for these customers. They did a good job for me. You can choose whoever you want to choose. Here, you ask for a recommendation. Here's who I would recommend. Calls me. Inspector calls me. I'm like, dude wants $50 off. I'm like, what'd you tell him? He's like, I gave him $50 off. I was like, that's nice. That's nice of you. And so he does the home inspection, right? And so the customer calls me like, I'm not happy with your home inspector. This is like 5 days before closing. I'm like, okay, well, what happened? Well, this and this, and there's a broken window. I'm like, you know, I call home inspector. I'm like, hey, man, so what? Tell me about what's going on. You know, you did a really good job. If I'm going to refer you out, just tell me what happened from your. He's like, yeah, I've been in the house in 3 weeks. I don't know if that window got broke from a rock on a lawnmower. It's being landscaped. So, no, it wasn't broken when I was there. I was like, but I did tell the guy there's four joists that have cracks in them, and he should get those inspected by an engineer. Guess what? He never did.
Yeah.
He's pissed off because of the broken window. But he didn't go get the broken floor looked at by an engineer. And that's a big settling issue. I did point all that out. And so I think sometimes customers, helping people understand there's more to a rate. There's more to a cost. You know, if you want sorry, I think my computer's starting to fritz out. If you just budget shop for everything, I think that's one thing I've learned as I've matured as well, is if you're always looking to save that $5, you're gonna compromise the quality, yes. Right? You're gonna compromise the quality of the business that's going to do the work for you, and the level of experience. So, you know, I've changed my mentality. Okay, you tell me your opinion. How much is it gonna cost? Well, it's more than I expected. Explain that to me. Give me a little bit more information. Why? Okay, that does make sense. We're gonna hire you, or we're not gonna hire you. We're gonna shop it out. You know,
but
one thing I've learned is, hey, if you want to get a quality job, you're gonna have to pay for it. I had a customer one time, past customer, helped him buy a home, came to me. We've had all these different scenarios, got him into a position where he qualified for a home. He claimed, you know, he did forbearance during, you know, 2020 COVID. Mm-hmm. I'm in a position where he qualified for a home. He's out there on a Sunday texting me, hey, found a home, going to make an offer, but I shopped you out with Navy Federal Credit Union or another lender. Let's take that out. Another lender. I was like, okay, cool. He's like, can you get the interest rate down like another 0.25%? I'm like, no, I can't. One, you don't even have a contract, so we can't lock it in anyway. So if you're going to nickel and dime us every single day for something we can't even guarantee you, you're wasting your time. Go get under contract, then we can talk about the pricing.
Yeah.
I was like, is the other lender responding to your text on Sunday or Friday night at 9 o'clock? Did your other lender explain to you what you need to do in order to get yourself in a position to buy this second home? Well, no, but their rate's like 0.25% better. So the lender didn't do any of the other stuff that's going to give you a better experience that would have got you a home. They would have just done the application and then said, you don't qualify. Mm-hmm. They would have declined you, not coached you into getting yourself in that position to acquire another home. And you want to bicker over $12 a month? What are you talking about? How about this? Don't ever call me again.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to when you said, like, getting yourself into a position to where you don't need the work. And honestly, that's over the last few years, I've been able to do that. And I've built up, you know, a clientele and a referral base. And I do advertising, and there's enough leads coming in, and the job board stays full enough that when I go out, I can sit there and confidently say, it's this price. Well, that's too expensive. Okay. Well, if you want me, then this is the cost. If you want to bring it down, you can do X, Y, and Z. I don't have to lower my price. I can take things off the list of work to be done. You can do your own removal. You can do your own delivery. Go pick up the material. I'll tell you where the vendor is. Drive your truck down there with a trailer and you load in 100. Like, I got to deliver 90 boxes tomorrow. Right. So I got to go pick up 2 pallets worth of stuff. I got to drive them 40 minutes away from my house. I've got to unload 90 boxes one by one into a house. That takes time. You're going to get charged for it. I'm sorry. You want to do it? Right. That fee can come off. It does not bother me. And so you really start breaking these things down. Like you said, you're answering the phone on Sundays. You're educating them through. You got them to where it's at. And they're bickering over $12 a month. Look, man, you're not for me. Go work with the other company, get denied, don't have your second house, and don't tell your friends about me either. I'm okay with that because because they're probably like you.
Yeah, if you want to go do that 9 to 5 and you get the round robin call center, then that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, my clients get a different experience. Exactly. You know, you can't always be the cheapest. If you're the cheapest, you don't make enough profit, you're going to close. If you're the most expensive, you're not going to have that residual return business because you're too expensive. You have to be able to provide fair pricing and just do something a little bit better than the other companies, you know, like communicate better, work mm-hmm. a little harder, mm-hmm. be a little bit more accessible. And they're going to have that great experience and come back to you.
Yes. I know you got to, we're a little bit over. I know you got to run. So I would love to keep going. I know we could, but
yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. I apologize.
So if anyone's interested in wanting to try and get a mortgage right now, because look, you probably don't want to refi as he said, but if you want to acquire something new, you're licensed in a bunch of states, so go ahead. What states do you work in, and where can people find you?
Yeah, appreciate it. So I am licensed in Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, and Tennessee. Our company is licensed in like 45 different states. So if you can, what you can reach me at lwagner@houseloan.com. My phone number is 253-677-2663. Reach on out. We'd be happy to take care of you and go through some scenarios.
Awesome. Is there anything we didn't hit on that you think we should have?
No, I think we covered a lot of information. I think it was a great opportunity. Hopefully this helps people understand, you know, the customer service aspect of it, and then retention of clientele. Keep that constant communication. Touch base with them every now and then. Let them know you're thinking about them. Give them a happy birthday call. They'll remember you when they need a job.
Awesome. Look, you summed it up for me. I don't even have to do it now. I appreciate it, Luke. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully David Sandana is listening. He introduced us, so I'll give David a little shout out for putting this together. He highly recommended you.
Yeah, great guy. Diligence Flooring. Give him a call if you're in Washington.
There you go. So that's what I've got. You know, I want to make sure everybody knows. Do me a favor, like, subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend, please. Let's help get this information out there. You can find more information over at FloorAcademyPod.com. We got the shop over there. Go pick up yourself a sweet t-shirt or a hoodie. Check us out on YouTube, and you can see all the funny facial expressions I make as I interview people, and get a little more interactive over there with the video component. I would love to grow that aspect of this little venture of mine. And, you know, if you're struggling, insurance people would love for you to be more organized. So go over at FloorAcademyPod.com. I got the file section. I've got a little tool for the insurance stuff. It's a spreadsheet. Take a couple of pictures when you buy something. Put the serial number, the date you purchased it, the value. If anything ever happens to your tools, man, you're going to shoot that PDF right on over to the insurance people. They're going to hate you because you're so organized, but they're going to love you too, because you're actually organized, and they're like, oh, well, okay. And you're not going to miss anything, because if your tools get stolen, you're going to forget about all the little things you use once a month, and then that's all going to come out of your pocket after they cut you a check and it's a month down the road. So go use those little tools that I got over there. They're excellent. Luke, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to make this happen.
Me too. Thank you, Kyle.
And yeah, I appreciate all your insights.
All right. That sounds good. You guys have a good week.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.